Hello, this is Pastor Ryan Clark from St. John's Lutheran Church in Buffalo, Minnesota, and you are listening to the audio from our current sermon series, A Name for Every Need.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Have you ever wanted to ask God a question? If you got one question, what would you ask? Have you ever thought about that? Well, we're going to start out with a video here today, a short two-minute video of kids. If they had to ask God a question, what question would they ask?
So we're just asking a bunch of different kids, if you got to meet God face-to-face, what questions would you ask him?
Why did God make me so good at football?
Where would he sleep every night?
How were the planets formed?
How do you make the clouds?
Why do I have hair?
Why do we have hair?
Is there sharks in heaven?
Why is Hippo so fat?
Did Jesus and God ever get sleepy?
Why can't I just play sports all day?
What's your mom's name?
If he lives with anyone?
Why do armpits smell?
Why do we have brain freeze when we eat, when we drink cold things too fast?
How much Christmases has you been alive?
Why do we have to read so much at school?
Why does my family have to be so loud?
Why are cheetahs so fast?
Why are cheetahs so fast?
Why do brothers and sisters fight a lot?
What did the world used to look like once there was nothing there?
How old is he?
How old is God?
Why can't we have world peace?
If I could see the past when Jesus was on earth.
Where did he come from?
Why did he name a Jesus Jesus?
How long did you live on earth?
What was your favorite part of your life?
I would ask him if he could remove sin from all of the earth.
Can you make people nice to each other?
Where were you before heaven was made?
How was God made?
How was Satan created?
If I can learn more about him.
Why were we made with sin?
How is there no beginning or no end to God?
Does everyone go to heaven?
What is it like in heaven with you?
When is Jesus coming back?
Why is your heart so big?
And I think that's all.
Good questions, huh? Maybe you have some of those questions as well. Did you notice how many of those questions that those kids asked had to do with God being eternal, everlasting? Look at some of the questions. How many Christmases have you been alive? That's a great question. How old is he? How old is God? Where did he come from? Where were you before heaven was made? How was God made? How is there no beginning and no end to God? Those are some really terrific questions. The way I know that they're terrific questions is because even when you get older, we ask some of those same kinds of questions. Well, that leads to what we're talking about here today. The next installment of A Name for Every Need. We are looking at how God is being revealed in Holy Scripture as El Olam, which is translated the everlasting God. The everlasting or the eternal God. The very first time that we see this in the Bible, it's all the way back in the first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 21. And in this passage, Abraham is making a covenant. And it says, thus Abraham and Abimelech made a covenant at Beersheba, which was in southern Israel. So Abimelech rose with Phicol, the commander of his army, and they returned to the land of the Philistines. Then Abraham planted a tamarisk tree in Beersheba, and there called on the name of the Lord, El Olam, or translated, the everlasting God. Now, I'll just be honest with you. It took me all week praying about this and studying this, trying to understand what God wanted us to hear, what did he wanted us to get out of this idea that he is El Olam, the everlasting God. I found it interesting, though, in this story that when Abraham called out to El Olam, he did something. He planted a tamarisk tree. When I looked up tamarisk tree, I found some interesting things about a tamarisk tree. It is one of the slowest growing trees in the world. In fact, it only grows about 1 inch per year and takes almost 400 years to get to its full height. In other words, that tree must have seemed like an everlasting tree. It must last forever. And it's during that time he called out to the God who lasts forever. In my office, thanks to Jed and Dell, there's a timeline of the world. And it's not like a regular timeline like you would think, just being a straight line. It's actually a line, but it goes around in a circle. And it starts with the very beginning of history with Adam and Eve. And then all of the yellow there is all of the biblical history. And then it also has all the other things going on in the world at that same time. It's very interesting. And if you ever want to come and take a look at it, I invite you to stop by my office anytime. But if you look at the history of the world, if you look at the timeline of everything that's happened in the world, where does God fit on that timeline? The answer is he doesn't. God is above the timeline. In other words, he looks at time, if it was a straight line, he looks at it, the beginning and the end, he looks on it all at the same time. He is outside of time or space. Now that's difficult to understand, but it helps us to understand maybe a little bit of what it means that he has no beginning and he has no end. We say, well, everything around us has a beginning and the end. You know, the tree outside, or the car that I bought, or, you know, ourselves, we all have a beginning and an end. Well, we're all on that timeline. But God stands above it all. He always was, and he always will be. In Psalm 90, it says, Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations of our timeline. Before the mountains were brought forth or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. That should really like make our understanding of God just blossom and grow. He is far bigger and greater than I think most of the time we give him credit for. So here's our question for today that hopefully for the rest of this message we will try to answer, and it is this. How does knowing that God is the everlasting God affect and change your and my lives? Because that's the question that I was asking all throughout the week. Okay, that's amazing. That's a great thing that he's from everlasting to everlasting, but how does that affect me? Well, today we're going to look at three ways that I believe it affects you and me. Knowing that God is El Olam, the everlasting God, gives us proper perspective. It gives us proper perspective, and we see this all over verses like this from Isaiah 40. A voice calls out, cry out, and I say, what shall I cry? All people are like grass, and all their faithfulness is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Just like in the spring, the grass comes up and turns green, and by now, at this point in the season, the grass is brown and it looks like it's dead. He says, all people are like grass. We're here today and gone tomorrow. Our life is but a breath. It goes so quickly. But the word of the Lord and God himself is not like that. He is from everlasting to everlasting. We have a beginning, we have an end, but he does not. We sometimes use the word history to describe the timeline of the world. But if you look in Scripture, the proper understanding of history is this. It is his story. It is his story. The one that is standing above it all and has his hand in history from the beginning to the end. In other words, I'm not the main character of the story. He is. He's the main character of the story. Someone once said that sin is making ourselves too big and God too small. Sometimes we think and we act as if we're the main character of the story. But that's not true. We're here today and gone tomorrow, but our God, who's from everlasting to everlasting, is writing a big story. And so it affects the way that we think and the way that we talk. Sometimes people will say this, "What's the meaning of my life?" But if you understand correctly, that's not the best question to ask. A better question would be to ask this, "God, what are you doing in your grand story? And how can I, for the little bit of time that I'm here, play a part in your story?" That's a better question. That's a question that has the perspective correctly. It's not all about me. It's all about him. He's writing a big story, and he gives us the opportunity for the little amount of time that we're here to play a part in his big, grand, amazing story. In Psalm 103, once again it says, "The life of mortals is like grass. They flourish like the flower of the field. The wind blows over it and it's gone, and its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts." Once again, we're here and gone so quickly, making room for the next generations after us. But the wonderful thing about having an everlasting God is the way he deals with people does not change. And in every generation, he is calling people who are here today and gone tomorrow to repent of your sins and turn your life over to him, to enter into that covenant that he wants to make with us through his son, Jesus Christ. And the wonderful thing is that no matter what you've done, no matter how badly you've messed up your life, if you go to God in repentance, from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him. If you go to him in repentance and say, "Lord, I want the rest of my life to serve a small purpose, whatever it may be, in your grand story," he always receives you. He always accepts you back because of Jesus. And you're in a covenant with him. Secondly, knowing that God is El Olam, the everlasting God, gives us consistency. It gives us consistency. In Hebrews 13, it says, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever." So not only is this God have no beginning and this God has no end, but for the entire time that he is the same. And so we can look back in Scripture and see how he interacts with people. We can look back and we can see how his compassions are. What's important to him, what he really wants from us. And we can know that that hasn't changed one little bit. In Malachi 3, he says, I, the Lord, do not change. So you, the descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Ever since the time of your ancestors, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. But return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. The very reason that this whole sermon series makes any difference to us is because our God is consistent. He was Elohim Kaim. He was Jehovah Rohi. He was Jehovah Rapha. He was El Roy and all the other names throughout Scripture. But guess what? He's all of those things here today too. He is consistent. This everlasting God does not change. I won't mention which religions, but there are religions, major religions in the world today, that don't understand this about God. The God that they worship has good days and bad days, and if you die on one of his bad days, so much for you. It's totally up to the deity. Isn't it amazing that you and I have a consistent God that doesn't have good days and bad days? He is consistent in his promises. He is consistent in his compassion. He is consistent in his love toward us. And because of Jesus, he is consistent in his covenant toward us as well. Finally, number three, knowing that God is El Olam, the everlasting God, gives us stability and gives us peace. In Psalm 46, it says, God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. He says, be still. And know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. As Paul said a few minutes ago in the children's message, he prayed, God give us peace when things change. We live in an ever-changing world full of upheaval. Especially over the last few years, it seems like everything is in upheaval. But in the midst of all of that, the craziness of, like it says in Psalm 46, he says, be still. Know that I am God. I am the unchanging, everlasting God. And I don't know about you, but that gives me stability in my life. That gives me peace, knowing that he doesn't change when everything in the world seems to be changing so quickly and it's out of my control. I know it's not out of his. In Isaiah 40, it says, why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord? My cause is disregarded by my God. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is El Olam. He's the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary in his understanding. No one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youth grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who put their hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. I love verse 28. It says, he will not grow tired or weary because he is the everlasting God. How many of you are moving a little slower over the last 20 years? Me too, right? Why? Because we're on the timeline. We have a beginning and we have an end. And we're a lot closer to our end than we were 20 years ago. We're slowing down. We're growing tired and weary. But you and I serve a God who's from everlasting to everlasting. He does not change. He does not get weary. He does not get worn out. He doesn't even have to sleep, the Bible says. I've been going to bed around 9 o'clock the last few nights. I've been so exhausted by the end of the day. God is not like us. And so He, even while we're sleeping, can give strength to the weary when we put our hope in Him. Once again, stability and peace from having an everlasting God. In Revelation chapter 1, John is just beginning this amazing vision that he would have that would become the book of Revelation. And right off the bat, he comes face to face with the risen, ascended, and glorified, ruling and reigning, the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he sees him, this is what happens. He said, "When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and he said, 'Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last, from everlasting to everlasting. I am the living one.'" Now look at what he says here. "I was dead, and now look, I am alive forever and ever." As I was thinking about that, I thought, whoa, that's amazing. Here we have the everlasting God who never had a beginning, will never have an end. But 2,000 years ago, for 3 days, was not. "Behold, I was dead, but I'm alive again." What an amazing thing that God, who's from everlasting to everlasting, would allow himself to die on a cross and be not for 3 days. Why would he do that? Well, the answer is this: "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but you have everlasting life." We have a beginning when we're born, but if you put your faith in Jesus Christ and are baptized, the Bible says, because Jesus was not for those 3 days, you can be everlasting as well. Isn't it a good thing that we have an everlasting God? In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to a sermon from St. John's Lutheran Church in Buffalo, Minnesota. If you would like more information about St. John's and any of our ministries to our community and beyond, you can go to our website, www.stjohnsbuffalo.org. Thank you, and God bless you.